Good evening. It's my happy privilege to welcome you on behalf, not of Seminole Presbyterian Church, but the Southwest Florida Presbytery this evening as we are assembled to install our new associate pastor, the Reverend Danny Dalton. So we are glad that you're here tonight. This is a special occasion. And before we begin, I want to not only welcome you, members of our church and also special guests, but also I want to introduce the members of the commission, which has been charged with the duty of the installation of Danny Dalton in our church as associate pastor. The three ruling elders are all members of our church: ruling elder Joe Donito, ruling elder Preston Neshaw, ruling elder Ben Lambers, and then two special guests and friends of Danny, teaching elder Ivan Lambert, who is senior pastor of the Covenant Presbyterian Church in Winter Haven, and then teaching elder Dustin Udaly, who is the associate pastor at the Holy Trinity Church in South Tampa. So we appreciate these men coming tonight and being a part of our service. I'm also part of the commission, and I suppose that makes our commission complete, is charged by Presbytery to install Danny Dalton. After the service tonight, we are going to have a reception for the Dalton family in the fellowship hall. So if you can join us after the service for a time of fellowship and refreshments, that would be very much appreciated. And also, I'd ask you at this time, before the prelude, to turn off your cell phones and any other kind of electronic devices that have a tendency to go off in situations and occasions like this and can be very disruptive. If you'll just turn them off or put them in the vibrating mood or mode, then we'd appreciate that. And we'll look forward to our time together. I remind you, this is a service of worship of the triune God, as everything we do is before the face of God. And that includes the installation of one of our ministers in Christ Church. So pray for Danny and all of us as members of the commission as we go through the proceedings tonight. And I'd ask you now to prayerfully listen to the prelude and just set your heart at a point where you are ready and prepared with all of your being to worship our great God. Let's listen prayerfully now as the prelude is played. Call to worship tonight is an appropriate one from Psalm 134. It's a psalm of those who minister in the house of God. Listen to the three verses of Psalm 134. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. and praise the Lord. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 302. Come, Christians, join to sing. Number 302, let's stand together as we sing. Heavenly Father, we delight in coming before you tonight and singing and worshiping you and praising you. We would ask, Lord, that your Spirit would manifest your presence in this place. And Father, as we seek to worship you in spirit and truth, that, Lord, you would inhabit the praises of your people, that you would touch our hearts, our minds, our will, and our emotions. Help us to move toward you in this public service of worship. And Father, bless the intended goal as we install your servant, Danny Dalton, to Christ Church and service here at Seminole this evening. Father, bless all that we do and say for your honor and glory, for our edification. We humbly invoke your blessing upon this service tonight. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture that I'll be reading, if you wish to follow along, is 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 9. That's 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 9. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained.
Thank you, Ben. It's a privilege and an honor tonight to have the opportunity to speak the message for this installation service. And I chose that text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, because I think it is reminiscent of all that Danny Dalton is and all that God has called him to be and to do here in ministry at Seminole Church. So I want to take a few moments this evening, excuse me, to expound on those verses and ask our Lord to give us some wisdom. Would you pray with me first? Father, we thank you for the Word of God that performs its work in those who believe. We ask now, Lord, in this time of meditation, that you would rivet this Word to our hearts. Help us to put it into practice, to be doers of the Word and not merely hearers who would delude themselves. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Paul gives some beautiful objectives and principles for ministry in this passage, I believe. I noticed several things as I was studying this past week concerning what Paul had said. Three things come to mind first from the first three verses. Number one, the general source or strength for Christian ministry. Danny, the Bible says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There are many things that seem like a contradiction in sacred scripture. This is one of them. It's almost tantamount to saying, be strong in your weakness. In other words, if you glory in the grace of Christ, if you recognize that Christ is the one who propels you by his Spirit, then you're strong in his grace. And conversely, that means you're not strong in yourself. For any man to do the job of ministry, if he doesn't know so already, he'll find out soon enough that we don't have what it takes in and of ourselves to do this work. It's all of God. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he speaks of the specific nature and objective of Christian ministry. Verse 2, the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. We all know that when we're ordained to the gospel ministry, we speak very often of two things, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word. That is a good general outline of what we're called to do. Danny's being called as our associate pastor with specific particular gifts and a calling upon his life to be a career associate pastor. I think I've known that for a little while. I'm certainly excited about it because I think this position at Seminole Church is tailor-made for you, Danny. And if you see what Paul says here, not only are we to preach and teach, but he talks about this ministry of discipleship. Entrust to reliable men who will be able and qualified to teach others also. We're to train others. We're to equip others. You're a very special man, Danny, who's been called by God to a very special ministry. It will not be easy, but it will be good and sweet. And I believe the specific, particular calling upon your life is to develop the infrastructure of this church. And that's going to take some doing. Given the history and the past of Seminole, given our vision for the future, Paul says, essentially, as I have often quipped, we're to work ourselves out of a job. The job of ministry, subordinate to preaching and teaching, is to equip others to do the work of ministry so that we don't stand out as ministers of the gospel. No, we reproduce ourselves. That is to say, we lead others to teach and to preach and work ourselves out of a job so that everybody in God's church is doing ministry, not just the paid staff. And then finally, the cost and hardship of Christian ministry. He says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ in verse 3. Paul suffered throughout his ministry. It's hard to digest in a land where nothing short of success and winning are applauded and rewarded. I think ministry in these United States is often one of the most difficult fields for a minister of the gospel because there are so many expectations that run counter to what sacred scripture teaches. That we will suffer. That it will be difficult. That Satan hates the church. And he hates it as an instrument of getting the gospel out. Danny, the ministry in general is hard. The ministry at Seminole is going to be hard too. It's going to have challenges. So I want to invite you to come and share with me as senior pastor in this gracious ministry, as I believe the Lord will sharpen us together. I believe He will shape us as ministers of the gospel over the years through hardship. I think we all know that as we suffer difficulty, those are the times that are the sweetest, whenever Christ builds our character and He develops us for a lifetime. And Paul finishes those first three verses. He launches into what I would call three metaphors for ministry. Three metaphors for ministry. He speaks of a soldier, he speaks of an athlete, he speaks of a farmer. It says in verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Ministry is very much like being a soldier in the military. What is the emphasis of the Apostle Paul in verse 4? Well, it's focus. It's concentration. You'll notice he says he doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. That is, he doesn't get himself entangled in distractions. Why? Because he wants to please his CO, his commanding officer. So the emphasis is upon the relationship that we enjoy with Christ Jesus. If there's anything that's going to propel a man to a ministry that is honoring to God, it's going to be, first and foremost, his relationship to Jesus. That's something that is somewhat subjective. There's some distractions that are obvious and evil. The temptations common to man and outlined in sacred scripture, but there are other distractions that are not so easily identified. Things that are not bad in and of themselves, in many cases wholesome, but they can consume us. Things like hobbies and even service, counseling, teaching and writing and discipling. There's a lot of things that we do in ministry that can be detached from our walk with God. So that we may be preaching sermons and we may be teaching lessons and we may be discipling individuals. But if we're not doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit based upon the relationship to Jesus, to please Him, then according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, it's wood, hay, and stubble. And we are not seeking to develop and to feed that relationship to Jesus. What's the point? God's work must be done in God's way, in the strength which He provides. The priority is upon your walk with God, Danny, same as mine. Daily, regular, time, communion with Jesus. That's exactly why He said in John 15, abide in Me. Unless you abide in Me, you can do absolutely nothing. And that is nowhere more true than in the Christian ministry. Charles Spurgeon once said, better to abolish pulpits than to fill them with men who have no experimental knowledge of what they teach. What he meant by that was, if a man doesn't have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, regardless of his flaws and shortcomings, if he doesn't have that critical element, he shouldn't be standing in front of anyone trying to lead them anywhere for the sake of Jesus. Danny, I invite you to join me as being a soldier as we cling to Jesus in this ministry. Also says the athlete, the second metaphor for ministry. What is a minister like? He's like a soldier. He's also like an athlete. And you see this in verse 5. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he doesn't win the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the emphasis seems to shift and be upon playing by the rules. That is to say, no shortcuts in the work God has called us to do. There are fundamentals. There are principles that one must adhere to in the training as a professional athlete, and also in the contest and competition. I think Paul's point at that place, or this particular juncture, is not so much upon the subjective relationship we enjoy with Jesus, but the fact that that subjective relationship is based upon the objective principles of sacred scripture. The athlete plays according to the rules. There are no shortcuts. And there are dimensions of our relationship with Jesus that are both subjective and objective. We enjoy a relationship, but that relationship must be based upon truth in sacred scripture. And just as the soldier's attention is focused upon pleasing the commanding officer, so the athlete's attention must be given to the rules and the principles of training. The subjective nature and the objective nature, they both go together for us as we serve in ministry. And Danny, I want to challenge you to be in God's Word as you already are. I talk to you and have known you for almost 5 years now. You give answers that are not only based upon Scripture, but the thoughtful application of Scripture. You're doing theology, and I am honored to see a man like you join our staff and to work with you. The soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. Notice verse 6. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive his share of the crops. Emphasis seems to be upon compensation, resulting from hard work and patience. Those are unusual words. He should be the first. Usually Paul, like Jesus, is saying, the first shall be last. He's talking about servanthood, talking about lowliness and humility. And that's true in Christian ministry. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus came to be a servant, not to be served. But there's also an element of respect and honor communicated by Paul with this figure, I believe. I could put it this way, Danny. When you look at the soldier and the athlete, that's characteristic of our relationship with God. It's based upon sacred Scripture, His Word. But it is subjective. We pray to Him. We talk with Him. Beyond that, we have a view of the world and ourselves. And we are to be lowly. We are to be humble. But we're also to respect ourselves and look forward to what God will do in our lives. Look forward to the fruit. I believe that's what Paul is referring here. There's an element of respecting and honoring what you're doing. Somebody jokes with me often. Says, pastors only work one day out of the week. Nobody knows that that's a fiction more than a minister's wife. Because we give ourselves night and day, whether in preaching or teaching or talking on the phone or counseling or ministering to somebody's needs, it is a difficult job. It's hard work. It's consuming. And again, nobody knows how to keep the balance unless they're meeting with their Lord in a relationship. There's a need to acknowledge gifts and calling for ministry. Danny, you've done that. You want to be an associate pastor. That means you want to give yourself to the preaching and teaching of God's Word in general, but also to the development of Christ's church in particular. And that's exactly what we need here at Seminole. Thank God for that. Work hard. Speak your mind. Be a man. You always have been. I believe that's why you're here. God has brought you our way because you're exactly what we need. You're a man who knows who he is in Christ. You respect yourself and the unique calling God has placed upon your life. And we at Seminole Church needed someone very special for our unique situation. You're the one. Thank God for you. As you're brought to this place and you exercise your ministry as a soldier and an athlete and a farmer, then we'll be like the Apostle Paul, who says at the end of this passage that Ben read, I put up with anything and everything for the sake of the elect. Our ministry is not arbitrary. We're not out here selling and peddling the Word of God. We are teaching and preaching with the belief, like Paul in Corinth, that God is calling a people to Himself. And so the ones He's marked out from the beginning of time, He is bringing and wooing by the gospel. And we get the privilege to be instruments in this gracious ministry. Thank God for the ministry of Christ Jesus and His church. And thank God for Danny Dalton, as God has brought us a great gift to share in this ministry. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to acknowledge the fact that you are calling out a people for yourself. And that, Lord, we are to work hard and struggle and labor as ministers of Christ. And yet, Lord, we also are to train and equip the saints so that all of us would be ministers and priests unto God. Lord, give grace to Danny and to all of us as we seek to minister in Christ's name. Help us with the grace that only you can supply. Fill us with your Spirit so that these words and other words like it in the Scriptures would be made real in our lives. Father, we praise you and thank you in advance for all that you will do. We make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Take your hymnals once again. Let's sing a hymn of response. Number 347, The Church is One Foundation. We'll stand and sing verses 1, 2, 3. 4 and 6 only, verses 1, 2, 4, and 6 only of number 347. Let's stand together as we sing.
Daniel Dalton graduated from Reformed Theological Seminary with an MDiv degree, a Master of Divinity degree, in 2003. He appeared before the Southwest Florida Presbytery in October of 2003, where he was examined in the areas of Christian experience, English Bible content, theology, the sacraments, church history, and the principles and rules of the government and discipline of the church. Thus, Reverend Dalton was ordained in our Southwest Florida Presbytery in 2003, and he served at the Cypress Ridge Presbyterian Church in Winter Haven, served faithfully for 5 years until December 2008. And then upon you, Seminole Presbyterian Church, presenting a call to the Southwest Florida Presbytery on February 14 of this year, we, the Southwest Florida Presbytery, found the terms of the call in order, and the Presbytery deems it good for Christ Church, and for your church in particular, that we place the call in the hands of the man to whom it is addressed, Reverend Daniel Dalton. So, what is significant about this evening? Why are we here? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And on that authority, Jesus promised in Matthew 16, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." You see, Jesus exercises his authority in his church by his Spirit through his inspired word, Holy Scripture. And Jesus endorsed the authority of Old Testament Scripture, stating that his own authority and Scripture's authority either stand or fall together. Jesus said that all the Scriptures bear witness to him, and thus the New Testament Scriptures are the apostolic witness to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself created the church. We just sang how with his blood he purchased the church. Jesus delegates his care and the oversight of his church to men. Men who are to act as heralds. Men who are to act as guardians for his church. As stewards or trustees of the mysteries of God given to them, they are delegated this oversight in Jesus' church. And their task is to love the Word, to study the Word, to declare and preach the Word, to love the flock, and to learn how to apply that Word to their own life and to model then what it means to follow in faith in Jesus Christ, to live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Shepherds of Christ's church tend Christ's sheep by feeding them, by caring for them, and by teaching them. And so tonight, on this March 15, 2009, you officially enter into a public ceremony. It is a relationship tonight where you two are wedding yourselves to one another. Danny Dalton tonight is taking vows to feed you and to lead you. And you will be charged to humbly receive his message and his ministry and to follow him as he follows Jesus. Now I believe we'll have a time for the questions and the installation.
If I could ask Danny to please stand and come forward. These are the questions for installation. Are you now willing to take charge of this congregation as their associate pastor, agreeable to your declaration in accepting its call?
Yes, I am.
Do you conscientiously believe and declare, as far as you know your own heart, that in taking upon you this charge, you are influenced by a sincere desire to promote the glory of God and the good of the church? Do you solemnly promise that by the assistance of the grace of God, you will endeavor faithfully to discharge all the duties of an associate pastor to this congregation and will be careful to maintain a deportment in all respects becoming a minister of the gospel of Christ, agreeable to your ordination engagements?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. At this time, I have questions for the congregation, but only for members of Seminole Presbyterian Church. If you are a member of Seminole Presbyterian Church and you are able to stand, would you please stand at this time? As I ask you these questions, I'd like you to emphatically answer yes. Do you, the people of this congregation, continue to profess your readiness to receive Reverend Daniel Dalton, whom you have called to be your associate pastor?
Yes.
Do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love and to submit to him in the due exercise of discipline?
Yes.
Do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction and spiritual edification?
Yes.
Do you engage to continue to him while he is your associate pastor that competent worldly maintenance which you have promised and to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you.
Yes.
You may be seated.
At this time, I would like to invite all of the elders from the commission and anyone else in the audience who is an elder in the Presbyterian Church in America to come forward at this time, Danny. And we will have a time of laying on of hands and a prayer for the ministry of Danny here at Seminole Presbyterian. Let us pray. Father, we praise you that you have adopted your church to be your people. You promise that I will be your God and you will be my people. You promise that we would be your sons, not your slaves. Your sons who inherit all of your kingdom and all your kingdom has to offer. We praise you that in your appointed time you sent your Son to purchase all those whom you adopted to be your children. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you descended to these lower regions to live with and to die for and to resurrect for bad people like us. That you then ascended to heaven and sent your Spirit in all your resurrection power to your church, that we might be your witnesses to the glory of God across this globe. We praise you that you gave gifts to your church, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And we praise you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to testify to our hearts that we are the Father's adopted children, that despite our failings as individuals and despite our failings as your corporate church, Jesus will continue to be our advocate before the Father. And so tonight we pray, we plead for your power. As we have heard, the ministry is full of suffering. We take you at your word that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And that the hope that you provide does not disappoint us because you have poured out your Holy Spirit to us. And so we pray for that power and that love. We pray for your watch care, your wisdom, your will be done in this congregation as it is in heaven. May it all be done to your glory. And this we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all of God's people said, Amen. And now we'll all extend the right hand of fellowship to Danny.
It's a great honor and a privilege to now pronounce that and declare that the Reverend Daniel Dalton has been regularly elected and installed as Associate Pastor of Seminole Presbyterian Church. Agreeable to the Word of God and according to the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church in America, and that as such he is entitled to all support, encouragement, honor, and obedience in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be here to offer a couple of charges. First, to my friend and co-minister Danny Dalton. Danny, it's been a joy to have known you these past 5-6 years here in the Southwest Florida Presbytery, and it's an honor to participate in this installation service, a man whom I consider a friend and one with whom I have so enjoyed working and am so grateful to be able to continue to work alongside you here in our presbytery and particularly here in Tampa. Danny, I want to charge you from a section of Jesus' ministry that I think really sets a blueprint and a template for what it means to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember that occasion of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And really, it was a high point in his earthly ministry because he had resolutely set his face out for Jerusalem so long before. And it is indeed a triumphal entry because people offer their hosannas to the king as he comes into the royal city. But as King Jesus approaches the royal city, we're told in Luke 19, verse 41, he sees the city and he begins to weep. Now, what would cause Jesus to weep on what was otherwise a very happy and celebratory day? Well, surely we can connect Jesus' tears with the agony of the cross that he is soon to face. That cry of anguish in Gethsemane, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And then that culminating cry with which you're so familiar that he offered on Calvary, fulfilling the Old Testament word, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But the tears shed here on the occasion of the triumphal entry aren't so much primarily directed at the painful judgment ordeal that Jesus Christ is about to undergo. But rather these tears are occasioned by the fact that there is a judgment that unbelievers, even unbelievers in Jesus' day and age, would soon undergo. There are an expression on the part of Jesus here similar to a phrase with which, again, you're very familiar from Luke 13, verse 34, when Jesus cried out, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Danny, Jesus Christ here, like the weeping prophet Jeremiah, knows the reality of eternity and judgment. And when he looks out on the people who refuse to repent, who refuse to bow to him as king, knowing what awaits them on that final day, he begins to weep. In words that Jesus Christ speaks elsewhere, he knows there is a day coming for them on which those who reject him will cry out to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us," because that will be a preferable state than to come under the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. You see, we get a window here into Jesus' doctrine of hell, into that eternal judgment that faces unbelievers who have violated God's law and refused the mercies of Jesus Christ. And can you see the tension there in Jesus' view? "Yes," he would say, "hell is real, but I take no pleasure in sending people there. It grieves me that there are people in the world who are sinfully condemned and refuse to bow the knee." And so, Danny, on this occasion of your installation and as you move forward in ministry, may Jesus' tears here be your tears. May you look upon this congregation and may you look upon this city to which you've been called. May you look upon it with a vested interest in the eternal destiny of every single individual with whom you interact and against and by whom you come across. May you cry out regularly to God, Oh God, the eternal realities of the ministry to which you have called me move me, and they cause me often to weep. To weep to see sinners saved by your sovereign grace, and to weep to see Christ formed in your people day after day. As you well know, and has been said in the sermon and in the prayer as well, it is a high and lofty calling to be a steward of the mysteries of God. And we can take our cue from Jesus that nothing less will do than a fully engaged minister who truly cares about the well-being of the flock under which that will be under your care, and the unbelievers in the community whom you will come across. You see, these tears of Jesus set an example for you in your ministry, but it's not an isolated example at all. You can think of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, that famous passage of Acts chapter 20, when he says farewell to the Ephesian elders for a final time. Paul there at that farewell to his elders, with whom he had labored for 3 long years, recounts his ministry in the Ephesian church, and you remember what he says. Verse 19, I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears. Verse 31, remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And from the book of Galatians, he says to his dear church in Galatia, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. The painful experience of childbirth is what it's like to be a minister of the gospel as you look upon the people asking God have mercy upon sinful men. Again, we see the tension because isn't the Apostle Paul the famous apostle, the one known most, more than anyone, for his confidence in the power of the gospel for everyone who believes? The remarkable passage, Romans chapters 9 through 11, a place in Scripture unparalleled for its development of the sovereign electing prerogative of our holy God in the salvation of sinners. And yet, how does Paul start out that amazing set of reflections? Well, if God's going to save whom he's going to save, then I'll just handle my apostolic responsibilities at arm's length and just let God do whatever he's going to do. Not at all. Again, I'm sure it's a verse with which you're very familiar. Romans 9, verse 3. The pastoral heart of Paul that must be your pastoral heart as well. As Paul looks out on his own race, on Jews who refuse to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, even though he is fully aware of God's sovereign purposes in all that is taking place, he says, I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. If it were possible, I would go to hell myself if it meant that the people to whom I've been called to minister would only believe. Danny, there are few statements in Scripture more remarkable than that one from the pen of the Apostle Paul. A raw, sincere concern for those who are under his charge. And yet, as remarkable as those words are, Danny, they are to be your words as well. And so I charge you, Danny, in the sight of God, in the sight of the exalted Jesus Christ and of his elect angels, in the presence of this congregation to which you have been called, to cultivate this kind of love for this congregation, to cultivate that kind of love for this city, to which you've been called to minister as a steward of the mysteries of God. God alone can save sinners, but you must remember, as Paul certainly did, that the means God uses to accomplish his purposes are the prayerful tears and ministry of the gospel by his appointed ambassadors in his church. Well, Danny, I realize this is a heavy charge to lay upon any minister of the gospel, shedding tears in your ministry on behalf of all those whom you serve. See, in a day and age of this world attachment, of a subtle unwillingness to think about eternity, often sadly, even within the church, you must appraise things for what they truly are. You must be able to see, as Jesus did, as the Apostle Paul did, the bottom line. That it has been appointed for each of those under your care, for each of those whom you will come across in this city, that it has been appointed to each of them once to die, and after that, to face the judgment. And when you can see that bottom line, that perspective will lead you to the manner of ministry of Jesus and of the Apostle Paul. But there's one more thing. You see, what I just said about motivation for having this kind of posture in your ministry, for a truly committed ministry, is true as far as it goes. But it's got to take place, as you well know, in a deeper context. The context of your own appropriation of God's mercy and grace. When you see your own life against the backdrop of the judgment that you deserved, and yet the mercy and the grace that have been lavished upon you as an adopted son of God. When you see the tears and agony of Jesus Christ that were shed for you, a sinner who has been reclaimed, then tears of joy will flow from your eyes in response to what Jesus Christ has done. And those tears of joy will cause you to move outwardly and to shed tears of concern, tears of anguish for those whom you labor and strive to see Christ formed in. Think of that marvelous example of the sinful woman from the book of Luke, wiping Jesus' feet with her tears because she's so overwhelmed by the incalculable debt that she has been forgiven by her Savior and Lord. So when you, like that sinful woman, see the judgment you have been spared before God, you will weep with joy. You will weep for others. And you will weep with gladness when you see Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, tending to his sheep through the labors of the session of the diaconate of all those called to minister here in this congregation. When you see Jesus Christ faithful to his gospel, the power of God for everyone who believes. May God give you such a bountiful grace. Amen. But it is now my privilege to make remarks to you, the congregation, now under Danny's charge. I want to do that by looking briefly at a very familiar verse, just one brief verse from the book of Proverbs that many of you probably know by heart. Proverbs 29:18. It's a verse that actually, in its familiarity, has proven at times to be the occasion for some confusion in the church, and especially as the church thinks about her leaders. And so I want to set it before us as something to think about as you appraise this man, Danny Dalton, who is called to lead you here in this congregation. So you see, the verse is often mistranslated, often misinterpreted to say something like this. When there is a lack of vision, a lack of visionary leadership, a lack of goal-setting, entrepreneurial-minded vision casters in the church, then the people will perish. They will not survive under such short-sighted leadership because they will not be able to have dreams and objectives for which to aim. Now, whatever there may be to goals and objectives within Christ Church, and I'm certainly not dismissing that discussion at all, there's something much more central. There's something much more important in this verse as it bears upon leadership in the church of Jesus Christ, and particularly the leadership that Danny is called here to offer. You see, when our author here refers to the vision that needs to be present among God's people, he's not referencing a person's creativity and ingenuity in helping a congregation come up with a plan and then get things done. He's actually talking about divine vision, a divinely authoritative vision such as that given to the prophets of the Old Testament. Or to clarify our author's intention, we could use the word revelation. Without revelation, without God's inspired authoritative word, the people will perish. And really, this idea of perishing can be focused as well. The notion is that of rebellion, Without revelation, the people will cast off restraint. The people will go wild in your sin. So can you see why a verse like this one becomes so important for a service like this evening's? Danny Dalton has been installed here as a minister of the Word. It's a Sunday night at 7 o'clock, so maybe a grammar lesson is not exactly what you're hoping for. But I think a simple little refresher course in grammar can help us along the way. It's a grammar lesson I learned from others that I will pass on your way. Danny has been installed here as a minister, a word that exists in the nominative. But it is so important for you, Seminole Presbyterian Church, that this minister, this nominative, be seen as it is in relationship to the genitive of the Word. He is a minister, yes, but his ministry only has value, only has meaning, only has authority insofar as it is qualified by God's Word, by the revelation that God has given him, and to carry out his task, as was preached earlier about the rules that he is to follow, those rules that come from God's inspired word. He is not a minister in the abstract. He is a minister whose responsibility and authority is tethered ever and only to the Word of God. God's revelation, a minister of the Word, this is who has been installed among you for service in this portion of Christ's church. And so can you see, if you can keep those things together, the nominative and the genitive, he's a minister of the Word, how far that goes to helping you understand what you ought to expect of him as your pastor, what your vision ought to be of him as the one appointed to lead you and to teach you and to guide you. You ought to expect from Danny a revelation-saturated ministry. You ought to expect to see in Danny a man who is literally caught up in the text of Scripture. He drinks it in because he simply can't get enough of God's inspired Word. Of a man who then pours out what he has learned on behalf of others to teach you, to train you, that you might be equipped for every good work. So you ought to desire to see something of the mindset of the Apostle Paul in Danny's ministry here among you. Back to Acts chapter 20 from the previous charge. Paul there says, "I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have been about the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace, declaring to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." And he goes on to say, "I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the full counsel of God." God's Word is what I've been about among you, Ephesian elders. And it is God's Word as it centers in the mercies of God's Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says, it is only the faithful ministry of this inspired word that allows him to be innocent of the blood of all men there in Ephesus and all those whom he would come across. And yes, as we established, he ministered God's inspired word with tears. And so you ought to expect to see in Danny a man who is gripped by God's word, who pastorally and gently applies that to the congregation. And this is what you ought to prize in Danny above anything else. Whatever other expectations you have of him and of his family, let that be your baseline. He is called to teach me the Scriptures that God has given for God's glory and for the good of his church. Well, since I brought up the issue of grammar lessons, we can continue just a little bit further down that line. You as a congregation actually get to check Danny's work. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, a verse probably many of you know by heart. Speaking of the ministry of the word by the Apostle Paul, no less, we are told, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they searched the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Imagine that. The Apostle Paul as your pastor. If ever it was tempting to put it in sort of overdrive, put it just coast along, and say, I'm in the hands of the Apostle Paul, an inspired apostle. Of course I can just sort of coast along and things will be fine. And that will be tempting for you because you have an honorable man here as your associate pastor. You have every reason to trust him. And yet you have every reason, according to Scripture, to dig and to search and to probe, to ask him questions, to dialogue with him about what it is that he believes and why he believes it, that you both might sharpen one another in the process, to confirm and to see if what is said is actually true, just as the Bereans were commended for in the book of Acts. You see, a revelation-minded ministry of the Apostle Paul bore the fruit of a revelation-minded congregation, and the same should be true here at Seminole Presbyterian Church. Your responsibility is not simply to hear God's Word, not simply to hear it from Danny, but to receive it, to engage it, to study it, to saturate yourselves in it, and as was said earlier this evening as well, to apply it to your lives as the word of life. Did you catch the contrast, Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but the positive, contrasting state of affairs concludes like this: but blessed is the one who keeps the law. It is not enough to have God's Word here at Seminole Presbyterian Church. It must then be faithfully applied in the nooks and crannies of your lives. You see, there is a danger for the church that even when her ministers faithfully instruct God's people with His Word, that God's people can be given to that danger of suppression, suppressing the truth that I hear so that I can always keep it at arm's length. Suppressing the truth just like the unbelieving world. And we don't have to look very far in Scripture for examples of that, but think of a ministry of the Old Testament prophets. There was lots of divine vision from God to the prophets and from the prophets to God's people, but the people still cast off restraint because of their refusal to receive that vision, their refusal to embrace it, their refusal to think God's thoughts after Him. Israel was constantly trading in the spectacles of Scripture for her self-made lenses of unbelief. And the consequences, as you know from the Old Testament history, were horrible indeed. Seminole Presbyterian Church, as you receive God's Word from Danny's ministry, ask yourselves, is my life changing because of what I've heard? Am I repenting of old patterns of sin, of old patterns of thought in my life, and am I finding fresh mercy and grace from my Savior Jesus Christ? By the grace of the gospel, and am I slowly but surely learning what it means to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ? You see, when you are receiving God's Word docilely, when you are applying it to your life appropriately, then you will receive Danny well also. Paul's words to the Galatians. Paul says there to the church, I was ill, I had trouble with my sight. And you know what you would have done, congregation? You would have taken out your very eyes and given them to me to help me in my illness, to help me in my time of need. Isn't that a wonderful picture of what a pastor and his congregation ought to look like in tandem, in relationship of love? I preached the gospel, you received it, and in that context, we forged the deepest and lasting bonds. Don't force Danny to live up to false standards among you. Let him be the Danny that God has made him to be. Listen to the word when it comes from his mouth, opening the inspired scriptures of God. Don't accept him or reject him on the basis of giftedness or personality, but accept him and honor him because he is a faithful minister of God's inspired Word. God's final revelation has at last come to us in His own dear Son, Jesus Christ. As Danny ministers the Word of God in its fullness, centering upon His gospel mercy, may it be true of you, Seminole Presbyterian Church, not just in language, but in practice as well, that God's Word alone is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Danny, alongside Reverend Keene, will cast the vision. And you, Seminole Presbyterian Church, by God's grace, will be those with your eyes upon Jesus Christ who are blessed because you keep God's law. Amen. Let us stand and sing together, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," hymn number 92.
Amen.
was my privilege to offer to all of you the blessing from God. So receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen.